Welcome to this podcast on exploring child rights and participation in the Our Voices 2 Youth Advocacy Project. The Our Voices 2 Project is coordinated by the International Centre researching child sexual exploitation, violence and trafficking at the University of Bedfordshire in the UK. As part of the Our Voices 2 Project, the International Centre is working in partnership with three national NGOs in Europe. Different and Equal in Albania, the National Centre for Child Abuse Prevention in Moldova, and ATINA in Serbia. Each organisation is implementing participatory advocacy activities in their respective countries with young people affected by sexual violence. The Our Voices 2 Toolkit was written for adult facilitators from these three NGOs to help them support young people who are current and former service users to design and plan an advocacy campaign on sexual violence against children. The toolkit is divided into four sections. Section one looks at how to create a safe space in a group setting. Section two explores sexual violence. Section three focuses on children's rights and children's participation. And section four is concerned with participatory advocacy. In this podcast, I speak to Delphine Peace at the International Centre about section three of the toolkit, which focused on children's rights and children's participation with the young people, or as they're referred to in this project, the youth advocates. Delphine will talk about why this section was included in the toolkit, what was covered in these sessions, and give some feedback from the facilitators and youth advocates about how they found exploring this topic together. So hi, Delphine.
Hi, Claire.
Nice to have you here with us. Firstly, can I ask why you included a section on children's rights and participation in this toolkit?
Sure. So this section of the toolkit promotes an understanding of children's rights to participation and provides a context and a rationale for children and young people's role in advocacy. While the majority of youth advocates involved in the Our Voices 2 projects are no longer children, they're all over 18, we think it's important to promote youth-led advocacy so that young people can help to improve the situation for other young children and young people affected by sexual violence in the future.
Great. And can I ask what's covered in this particular section of the toolkit?
So the section provides guidance for facilitators on how to explore some of the key children's rights instruments and principles with young people. So we've included exercises that facilitators can do with youth advocates to familiarize themselves with the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child and to explore power differentials that exist in many societies, including those that exist between children and adults. This can help to illustrate how existing inequalities impact on individuals' ability to access rights, to influence decisions, and to have their voices heard by those in power. Youth advocates are also encouraged to think about how sexual violence can impact children's rights. And the benefits of participation, as well as the different ways that young people can participate in project and in decision making, are also discussed.
Great. And there's obviously different understandings and different definitions around child participation. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us how you defined participation within this toolkit and project?
So we use Lansdowne and O'Kane's 2015 continuum of children's participation. And it's a framework that outlines three types of participation. So there's a consultative participation, and this refers to initiatives that asks for young people's perspectives and offers them opportunities for influence. So for instance, by informing services or decisions affecting them. Then there's a more collaborative type of participation. So within this type of participation, adults are working in varying degrees of partnerships with young people, and collaborative initiatives can create opportunities for young people to actively influence the design and processes of projects and to share decision-making. So projects generally remain initiated by adults, but their inception and their development may be informed by young people. And then at the end of the continuum, there's child or youth-led participation. So these are projects which are initiated and led by young people. So there needs to be opportunities and resources in place to enable young people to initiate and run their own activities. So all processes are owned and led by young people, and adults may be invited to facilitate, to provide resources, funding or guidance, and to support them with certain aspects of their work. So we find this model helpful because it presents participation as a continuum, and these different types of participation often overlap within the same project. So young people can be involved to different degrees in various stages of the project, depending on their capacity, their interests, their individual circumstances, and the resources available. So for example, in the Our Voices 2 Youth Advocacy Project, so the project has been initiated and developed by adults. It is facilitated by adults, but it is implemented with young people collaboratively. And the outputs of the project, so the advocacy activities, have all been designed and are being led on by young people. So this aspect of the project is more youth-led. We believe that a marker of a truly participatory advocacy campaign across the whole participation continuum is that young people are involved in decision-making processes and that they share some degree of power throughout.
Great, thanks. That seems to be a really helpful framework to try to kind of visualize young people's involvement at different stages, which I think is really helpful. And could you talk a little bit maybe about how experience of sexual violence can kind of impact or present barriers to young people's participation and involvement?
Sure. So there are many reasons why young people who have experienced sexual violence and not engage in participatory activities like campaigning or research. Young people who have experienced sexual violence are often considered too vulnerable, and organizations and researchers can fear that involving them can cause re-traumatization. Children have the right to be involved in decision-making alongside their right to be protected under the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child. So in theory, these rights are equally important, but in reality, there is often a clear hierarchy of rights. And this is particularly the case in the area of sexual violence, where child protection concerns frequently overwrite children's rights to participation. So in practice, this means that children who are considered vulnerable, including those affected by sexual violence, are often excluded from decisions about their own needs and futures, or from discussions about how to help or improve responses for others. Another key reason why children who have experienced sexual violence are often excluded from participatory processes is because the topic of sexual violence is often considered as too sensitive and is highly stigmatized. So young people may not want to be associated with this topic, or they may experience resistance or repercussions from family, friends, or at a community level. In fact, earlier research that we undertook during the First Our Voices project highlighted these concerns from young people in both the UK and Eastern Europe. And a third key reason is linked to professionals' own discomfort. So there are not many examples of participatory activities related to the topic of sexual violence, and organizations and researchers can lack the skills and confidence to do this work ethically and meaningfully.
Great. It sounds that this project then is quite important in terms of generating learning around how you can involve this group of young people in different ways. So it sounds like it's useful in that sense. And can I ask, because I know that the project is kind of underway and that the young people have gone through that toolkit. So what was some of the feedback from the facilitators about how these sessions went with the youth advocates?
Sure. So the facilitators in Serbia talked about this session being very emotional for youth advocates, and that there was a sense of anger and sadness due to the mismatch of what is written on paper and what happens in reality when it comes to rights. Mm-hmm. The facilitators from Albania and Moldova both reflected that they thought this session would be quite easy, but that young people actually responded to the sense of injustice that children and young people face. And the facilitators from Moldova talked about how, for the youth advocates, it was the first time that they had the opportunity to feel like their views and opinions would be heard. So the facilitators shared how some of the young people started to be more engaged in this project at this point, started to read more about the issue in their free time, and how they brought examples and things to discuss back to the group.
Okay, so it sounded like it was quite a powerful powerful section for the young people involved.
Yeah, it was.
And do you have feedback from those youth advocates and how they felt about those sessions?
Yes, so in Albania, some of the youth advocates were mothers, and therefore they found this section, which focused on children's rights, quite emotional. In both Serbia and Albania, the young people spoke about the gap in what rights exist and what the reality really is. In Serbia, the youth advocates shared many examples of how they or others had had their rights violated in a number of different ways, and how they were still facing discrimination and harassment every day. And in Albania, the youth advocates talked about how important it was for them to be able to speak out for younger children as an advocacy group. In Moldova, the youth advocates also talked about how, in reality, children had no knowledge, no support, and that they're invisible. And one youth advocate said that it made her sad, as although she got help and support, other children did not. And she also spoke about how the project had inspired her to enroll at university to study law, which is a really positive outcome.
Definitely, yeah, it definitely sounds like it had a big impact on the young people who took part. Great, well, thank you so much, Delphine. That was really interesting to hear a little bit about that toolkit and some of the feedback and reflections. Can I ask where listeners to the podcast might be able to find out a bit more information about the toolkit, but also about the more general learning from this project?
Yes, so we've developed a series of briefing papers which give an outline of the different sections of the toolkit, with some examples of activities that facilitators can do with young people and references to useful materials and resources. So we are currently analysing the data from the Youth Advocacy Project, and we will share the learning via the Our Voices website over the coming months. So that's r.voices.co.uk.
Great. Thank you so much, Delphine. And thank you, everybody else, for listening to this podcast. As Delphine said, please visit the Our Voices website to access and listen to the other three podcasts, but also for those overviews of the toolkit and for other learning associated with this project and others. So thank you, Delphine. Bye for now.
Thank you, Claire. Bye.